You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Welcome back for part two of our look at Our Small World. If you haven't had a chance to check out the first part on the previous podcast, feel free to do so at any time. This particular section of the book, we're going to cover the autobiography of King Friday the 13th and also a short, about a page long section from Grand Père. The King Friday section is titled The Decline and Fall of King Friday the 13th's Empire, or Being a King is No Picnic is No Picnic. Chapter 67. There will be a tendency in examining this part of the book to begin looking for the chapter 1 through 66. Spare yourself this effort, for there is no chapters 1 through 66. Now that we've cleared up this point, let us begin in the kingly fashion with chapter 67. Might I add, for the sake of the record, that no matter what Josie and Daniel and the others call this book, it will always remain titled, in my mind, The Children's Corner Compilation. Chapter 67. This is my autobiography. In other words, the story of my life told by me, King Friday the 13th. Like all the other important kings, I was born. My parents, King and Queen Thursday the 12th, were very famous and royal and handsome and grand and kingly and queenly. I remember my dear mother, Queen Thursday, rumpling my golden curls with her scepter as I sat at the foot of her pedestal. She was lovely. You may have heard of her. Her maiden name was Cinderella. And my father, King Charming Thursday, was a playful, attentive father to me. He often would let me ride on the hem of his long robe while he practiced marching. My childhood was very happy. We had a very big family. In all, there were 365 members of our family, except in leap year when my black sheep cousin, Prince February 29th, would come home, and then there were 366. The children in a royal family begin their education very early in life, so when I was 6 months old, I began my studies with a tutor. Like all other princely princes, I learned to bow before I learned to walk. The first word I learned to say was coronation. Oh, my tutor and my family were so proud of me. Then I learned the common, ordinary, everyday words like throne, crown, scepter, regalia. I still remember my first song, Pomp and Circumstance. For a six-month-old prince, I had a very fine voice. My rendition of God Save the King and our national anthem often brought tears to the eyes of visiting royalty. When I was 1 year old, I was enrolled in the kingly school. The kingly school is the institution at which all reputable kings receive their educations. I enjoyed my years at the kingly school very much, for it was a lovely place. We had desks of gold and pencils of silver. A trumpet would call us to class, and a lavender velvet carpet would be placed upon the floor. Then all the kingly students would parade in. The kingly students were expected to work very hard at school. In my first year, I had three classes: first grade crown holding on, first grade throne sitting, and first grade senseless sentence structure. First grade crown holding on was taught by a very old king, King Henry of Watercress, who had lost his country years before, but had still held on to his crown. He had many wonderful things to teach us about keeping our crowns. Did you, for instance, know that there is one way to hold onto your crown if your brother is trying to take it away from you, and an entirely different way if it is your cook who wants it? We used practice crowns during class and for our homework, and real crowns for tests. For some of us, this course was extremely simple, and for others, it was almost impossible. You see, the size of your head is very important, and so is your grip, the placement on your ears, and the amount of hair you have. One of my classmates, Donald of Apple, was afraid he might not pass first grade crown holding on, because during our first examination, his crown slipped off. Donald, a very serious kingly student, used to spend many evenings in the practice crown closet, holding on to all the different crowns we had: gold crowns, jeweled crowns, tiaras. And through perseverance, he finally passed the course, and last I heard, he was a fine king and had managed to hold on to his crown through many a trying experience. The part of the day we kingly students liked best was recess. We would go out into the fresh air and play our favorite games, pin the tail on the Prime Minister, and castle drawbridges falling down. The class I enjoyed least, which I must say wasn't very royal of me, was first grade throne sitting. Our professor, Duke Kane, was very boring and rather inexperienced in sitting. In fact, the only experience he had was sitting on his third cousin's throne one summer. Duke insisted that we learn all 89 positions for foot placement while throne sitting. This took the better part of the year, and we had only had one day to spend on what to do with your hands while throne sitting. As a result, we graduates of the class of 1890 of Kingly School are never caught with our feet out of order during important occasions, but have often found ourselves at a loss, wondering what to do with our hands. I once had a court session of visiting royalty and immediately placed my feet in position 34. However, I was completely lost when a young prince presented me with a golden turkey. I couldn't remember which hand we were taught to use in receiving golden turkeys, so I made a wild guess and held out my left. The young prince coughed, and immediately I knew that the left hand was the wrong choice. I pulled back my left hand and extended my right. The young prince immediately placed the golden turkey in it. He whispered in my ear, "Class of 1890?" I winked and nodded. The class I enjoyed most was senseless sentence structure, or riddles, as our American teacher called them. Miss America was extremely difficult to understand and stayed only one year at the Kingly School. I imagine she was ashamed to find her students so far advanced in this field. For example, she would ask us, "What do you get when you put a canary in the meat grinder?" And for some reason or another, she would expect shredded tweet for the answer. Of course, we would tell her, "Cornflakes" was the Kingly answer, and she just couldn't understand why. She'd usually try to cover up her shortcomings by going on to another senseless sentence or riddle, as she insisted on calling them. They'd turn out just as poorly. One day she asked, "What was the greatest feat in the world?" We answered, "Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, of course." For some reason, she expected us to say Wheeling, West Virginia. I believe she teaches now in Wheeling, West Virginia. She was undoubtedly prejudiced. When I was 2 years old, I passed to the second grade of the Kingly School. The second grade courses were a little harder. We were taught second grade diamond polishing, second grade ruby polishing, and second grade emerald polishing, with a special course in second grade zirconia and colored glass, for those who plan to rule poor countries. There was nothing too difficult about our second year at Kingly School. The only strict requirement was keeping our polishing cloths clean and properly folded at all times. The folding of a polishing cloth is no simple matter. The cloth, of course, is a perfect square, in the middle of which is a very small hole. Each corner is folded so that the tip touches the hole. When this is done, you have another square, this time smaller than the first. This square is then folded exactly as the first, and once again we find ourselves with another square, this time smaller than the second. The corners of this are tied together with 3.5 inches of purple and white striped satin ribbon, and the cloth is carried in the left trouser pocket. I don't care to brag, but I did receive the class award for speedy polishing cloth folding. At one time, I could fold a polishing cloth in 2.5 minutes flat. When I had passed my second year at Kingly School with all diamonds on my report card, my parents were thrilled. Our report cards were lovely, made of hammered gold. A C was a ruby, a B was an emerald, and an A was a diamond. As a reward for my good work, my parents gave me my first two-wheeled chariot. My brothers and I had chariot races after school. I took advanced senseless sentence structure my third year at Kingly School. Senseless sentence structure was excellent training for Kingly students because it equipped us for understanding our cabinets and prime ministers and visiting presidents when we were ruling our kingdoms. Our advanced teacher was so inspiring. He was a pupil of the great Ecnectus Celestinus, who has written the only complete text on senseless sentence structure. We studied such forms as "what is black and white and red all over" and "what has four wheels and flies." These two forms of senseless sentences have gone through great change in the past century. There are some countries which name newspaper as the answer to the first and garbage wagon to the second. Of course, anyone who had studied advanced senseless sentence structure with a pupil of Ecnectus Celestinus knows that both are wrong. One of the most advanced forms we studied was the summons form. This form is rather complicated and requires a great deal of concentration. An example might be, the professor says, "Summons, summons." The student says, "Who may I say is calling?" The professor replies, "Ecnectus Celestinus." The student questions, "Ecnectus Celestinus who?" The The professor answers, Echnecna Celestness, your professor of senseless sentence structure. We students love the summons form. I was very busy at our home castle during these years. I had 7 tutors who gave me lessons in dancing, walking, recitation, fencing, music, eating, and sleeping. You may think that special instruction in sleeping is a waste of time, but I had such trouble with crown protection during sleep that my sleep tutor often worked overtime. My favorite home class was royal recitation. I learned many fine poems which I used to recite for visiting royalty. One of my favorites, even to this day, is Scintillate, Scintillate, Diminutive Stellar Orb. It goes like this. Scintillate, scintillate, diminutive stellar orb. How inexplicable to me seems the stupendous problem of your existence. Elevated at such an immeasurable distance in an apparently perpendicular direction from this terrestrial planet which we occupy. Resembling in thy dazzling and unapproachable effulgence a gem of purest carbon, set solitaire in a universe of space. There are those who prefer to refer to this lovely poem as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I could never understand why. Our last year of Kingly School was filled with more hard work and stiff competition. There were only 14 countries which had applied for kings in 1890, so that out of a class of 947, only 14 of us could be assured thrones. I was especially worried about my senior bowing to important people class, because I just couldn't seem to get the correct tilt of the head for the bow to the wife of the ambassador of Greece to Upper Afghanistan. The other bows were relatively simple for me, but my professor had great faith in my ability to meet and cope with any situation. So at the examination of the bow to the wife of the ambassador of Greece to Upper Afghanistan, the wife of the ambassador of Greece to Upper Afghanistan was asked to be our model. I bowed just right, and our teacher praised me for my correct angle of head tilt. He later told me, I knew you could do it with the real McCoy. Our practice model had been the wife of the ambassador of Turkey to Upper Afghanistan. Kingly repetition was our final course, and one which quickly weeded out the princes from the kings. Kingly repetition is like music. One is born with the aptitude for it. Only 15 of our entire class of 947 had been born with perfect kingly repetition. I was fortunate to have been included among these 15. But kingly repetition was natural for me. I repeated the first word I ever spoke. There was a problem in the class of the Kingly School 1890. There were 15 eligible kings about to graduate, and only 14 thrones to occupy. The day of graduation came, and the principal headmaster king was in a dilemma. What country could he give to the extra graduating king? The procession started down the aisle in kingly alphabetical order. Zelenopel led the group. The principal headmaster king was getting more frantic every minute. What could he do with the extra king? All of a sudden, he noticed that Zelenopel had his left thumb touching his second finger instead of his third, which, of course, is improper for graduation processions, so he tapped his foot twice. Zelenopel understood that he was to step into the side ranks of princes. The rest of us were crowned, but felt very guilty because we too had touched our left thumb to our second finger. Zelenopel was unfortunate being first in alphabetical order. And so on my fourth birthday, I was a king, king of Upper Afghanistan. And now may I take your hand in parting and say, farewell, everyone, farewell, everyone, farewell, everyone. So that's the section of King Friday the 13th, his background, his history. And then we move on to just a short page that's written partially in French with a little bit of a translation here from Grandpère. And it says, of course, in English, I'll read the English part as I won't even attempt to try to pronounce the French words here. Here's the first time I have to write anything in English. I hope you will forgive me if I make some mistakes because I'm not very at home with the English language yet. You speak French now better than I speak English. Anyway, when Josie told me I could choose to write something in the book, I said I would like to try. I love being here in America, even though my granddaughter, Danielle Colette, did send me, in a box, third-class mail. Daniel has been so nice to me. Also, all of his 17 friends who are tigers. I have my own Eiffel Tower now, and it's very nice to look out on the children's corner and see everybody, especially you. I hope you can understand that which I write, because I like you very much. And it's signed, Grandpère. So I'll stop at this point, and we'll have one more podcast about our small world, and the third segment of this podcast will include a section that's it's a play for children to perform, which I won't go through the entire play, but then there'll be a section on Lady Elaine Fairchild, a short section from X the Owl, and then I'll mention the few songs that are listed at the end. And that would be the conclusion of the book. So I hope you learned a little bit about King Friday the 13th in this segment. I definitely did, about his background, his childhood, and where he came from during the Children's Corner days. And I hope you'll tune back in here real soon in the next day or so as I bring part three of this series on the podcast.